Today on Real Radio.
The Spirit of God, the Word of God brings people together. By this, they were able to decipher the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And they searched the Bible and they said, hey, this is the truth that's being said here.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, in today's climate of political correctness, we sure hear a lot about tolerance. What about tolerance? Is tolerance among the various words that are being redefined these days? Well, a lot of people would say yes. And that's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses as he continues his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
Tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. We'll look at that, and we'll use verse 6 for all of these. The second thing we'll look at tonight is tolerance demands acceptance by all. Tolerance demands acceptance by all. And thirdly, we'll see tolerance decides what is tolerated. So the first thing, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. You can't have absolutes in this modern day definition of tolerance. They'll never fit. And yet we know absolutes are absolutes, and they're not going away. The second thing, tolerance demands acceptance by all. In other words, you conform or you will pay the price. We cannot tolerate you being different. Finally, tolerance decides what will be tolerated, and that is, this is the agenda, and you better get with the program. So tonight we're going to be looking at these things. So as we dive into this, consider a few things. Number one, verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 4. Listen, verse 1 said, test the spirits whether they are of God. That implies there are spirits that are not of God. Does that sound very tolerant to you? Doesn't sound tolerant to me in the modern day definition of the word tolerance. Look at the next thing that comes up. The second part of verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. That means there are deceivers. That means that there are people who are not right with God. That doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, now you're judging, John. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. John, that doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Could it be that we don't know what the word tolerant means? Could it be that we've been sold a different definition in our day and age? John chapter 4, verse 4. Because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Now you're putting me down, John. Doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Verses 5 and 6. They are of the world. We are of God. That sounds pretty divisive even. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul tells Timothy there, O Timothy, guard that which has been committed to your trust. Listen, avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. That doesn't sound very tolerant to me. Maybe we don't know the definition of the word tolerant. So let's look to our first point using verse 6 tonight. Of 1 John chapter 4, tolerance denies the truth of absolutes. We are of God, says John. He who knows God hears us. There is a unity in the Spirit that cannot be denied. Don't raise your hand, it's not necessary, but are you visiting tonight? Are you from Sacramento or are you from New York? How about you? Have you traveled? Have you gone from here and you're on vacation or at work somewhere in some foreign or some distant city or country, and you go to a church that loves the Lord and has the Bible as its foundation, and all of a sudden, even, I tell you, I have been to many churches where I don't speak the language in that country, and you know what? The moment you walk in the building, you feel like you're right home, right at home here. How can that be? Because it is the koinonia that is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we say that we're of God, it's not that we're boasting, it's that we understand the fellowship one with another. And we've covered this in previous studies. Because this is true, We remember what it's like to be in the world. We remember what it's like to be delivered out of the world. Does the real Christian turn and attack those who are of the world? No. Does the Christian, the Bible-believing evangelical, contrary to the definition of that term by the CIA and the FBI and the ATF and... We don't go around and blow up abortion clinics. We pray that the Lord would reach every woman and those doctors and nurses that are there. That when they do come to Christ, their lives would not be filled with guilt. We pray. See, the world assigns different meanings to words these days. It's wrong. The deception of tolerance. You know, a lot of people say, well, as long as you're sincere, it doesn't really matter what you believe. You ever heard that? Can you imagine now? You might say, well, Jack, what's your business? It's really not my business at all. If a person comes up and says, you know what? I believe, you know, in marshmallows. And if I just sit in the bathtub with marshmallows and stuff, I reach the deep inner person of who I am. And through doing this, I begin to experience a euphoric, almost transcendental, astral projection type of experience. And I'm out in the universe all while I'm bathed in these marshmallows and just the wonderful smell. And off they go. Listen, if you have not heard that story, go to Sedona, Arizona, and they're all there. I mean, it's amazing. And if you're not near Sedona, go to San Francisco. And if you're not near San Francisco, just come on down here to Laguna Beach. And he's like, what? What do you believe? It's unbelievable. But they tell you this thing, this strange deal. And people will look at them and say, you know, well, I guess as long as he's sincere, he's not hurting anybody. It's true, he's not hurting anyone at all. But listen, here's the part that's so wild, is that in the end they're going to die, and it's this, the flames, the heat that the Bible talks about, there ain't no marshmallow built. There's no marshmallow possible to shield them from this. And you say, how can you say that? Listen, I love their soul even though I don't know them more than they do. They're willing to go off this path of lunacy when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you can't get to the Father with marshmallows. You've got to come through me. Jesus says this. And then he saves you and says, listen, I want to send you into the world and tell them. So you tell people, and what do they say? They either say yes, no, or I don't care. And with that, we wash our hands or dust our feet off and walk away. But even then, it's true, if we could wrestle them to the ground and save them, we would, but that doesn't work. We care for them. But just like a rebellious child, when a parent loves and cares for them, they don't understand it. People don't know this. They don't understand. They think we're wackos because we care for their soul. And we're labeled as being intolerant. It's not true. But I tell you, when a church begins to think like the world and to accept the prophets of the world, then we believe, or I believe, I should say at that time, that Jesus has long gone from that church. Yesterday I was speaking to some students, and this one kid said, hey, don't you think there's a church in every town in America? That's a great thing to ask. Don't you think there's a church in every town in America? And I said, yeah, I guess there is probably a church in every town in America. And he says, well, how come the world isn't getting better then? It's a great, great thinking this teenager had. How come the world's not getting better? And I said, you know, I guess we should reserve the definition of a church to Jesus. He's pretty good at it. There may be a building with a steeple on it, but is it a real church? Does Jesus live there? I said, well, you know, if it's a church, shouldn't he be living there? Well, if it's a church, I think he should be living there. But we know that to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3:20, it's a great verse, but we often use it out of context. We use it wrongly. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up the door, I'll come in. He's telling that to a backslidden church. Let me in. He's not even in the building. Hey, I'd like to get in here. He's talking to a church, the church at Laodicea. They had so strayed from Jesus. They had gotten into so many other things. When verse 6 says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the word by this those two English words means this. And the audience that you keep is in an audience of professing Christianity. By this we know. By what? Those who are divided being those who are of God and those who are not of God. And I ask you, when he says, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the question is, do you? Do you fellowship with the world or do you try to reach the world? Do you have everything down pat about the world but little down pat about Jesus and the Bible? Which world are you living in? When he says, by this we know, it implies that we know the difference between the two worlds that we're talking about. And one of them is of error and one of them is of truth. In Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 10 through 12, this is a great example of it. There the scripture says in the book of Acts chapter 17, verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those who are in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few Greeks. I love the way the King James put that. Not a few Greeks. That means a lot of Greeks. A lot of Greeks. And prominent women, as well as men. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, brings people together. By this, they were able to decipher the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And they searched the Bible and they said, hey, this is the truth that's being said here. Those who are of God hear the Word of God and participate in the fellowship of God's people. As 1 Corinthians 3:16 teaches us, that we are the temples of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We also consider this regarding tolerance in that it denies absolutes. Deception by this cry for tolerance is one that redefines words. Now, I don't know if you hear a lot about this. I hear a lot about this. People say words these days and it means something different than what the dictionary says. I don't understand this. Where's our school? Or what are these kids doing in school? I'm appalled. I heard somebody call somebody something the other day. They were teenagers. They said something to the other one. And I tell you, when I was a teenager, that person would have lost their front teeth for saying that word. If they would have called me that word, I would have knocked them out. And, you know, I wasn't a Christian then, so I can say that now. I would have knocked them out. But come to find out, that word, even though you're looking up the dictionary and it means something horrific, people have redefined the word. Is that acceptable? Is that legal? It's absolutely wrong. But you know what? Something's very, very, very horribly wrong in our culture, in our society. Listen to this. The deception of tolerance redefines words. And you and I are living in what is called a politically correct age. Everything's got to be politically correct. And it seeps into the church. A lot of churches today do not mention the word repent because they're afraid they're going to lose members. So what do? Well, you either cower to the world or you stand up and you preach the gospel and trust God. Redefining of words, James 3:15. James says this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual. It's demonic, he says. Wow. The 1828 edition of Noah Webster's American Dictionary of English Language, 1828. You can go online and buy it. I have a copy at home. I think it's like $40. You ought to get it. It's the real original dictionary for English language. Just type in Noah Webster and hit return on your search engine and you'll come up with the 1828 dictionary, the real one. By the way, many of the words, as Noah Webster put this together for his whole life, many of the words have scripture references in your Bible. That's the original dictionary. Now you go buy some piece of junk at the local bookstore and you pay real money for it. It's pathetic. Listen to what he says. Toleration, able to endure with another's mindset or understanding, to extend toleration to an opposing view or to an opponent, to suffer or to endure with someone else's belief while not agreeing with it. Really? That's the definition of the word. But why is it today that if someone comes against you and your belief, they can be labeled as being a hate crime promoter? Or if you tell someone on the street by handing them a tract at the town square over here, Jesus loves you, are you going to go to heaven? You can know for sure that somebody goes to a police officer and says, that guy's promoting hate crime. What is this? What's going on? He's intolerant. What is happening? And you say, well, that's outside these walls, Jack. That's out there in the world. No, this is the world that we go out to give Christ to. And I argue with you tonight that it's already seeped into the church. User-friendly services, messages that don't shake and rattle anybody, don't upset, don't quote a verse that's going to cause conviction. You could get sued. There's a lawsuit going on. I'm not allowed to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. There's a lawsuit going on where someone on a radio program said a certain word, got a certain group of people who practice a certain form of lifestyle all up in arms, and they rammed into the Supreme Court to try to get that Christian program off the air. What is wrong? America is ill, and the church, rather than bowing down, needs to stand up and stand on the Word of God. Listen, if we're going to go to jail, why don't we stand up for truth? You know? It's going to happen. Satan's not stupid. He'll come after the pastors first. He does. He will. It's just a matter of time, if you ask me. America will not go without persecution. The only way that will happen is if the rapture comes. But if the Lord does not come soon, there will be persecution. No other people have ever escaped it in the ages. We're really defining words. There's an old quote, by the way, this came out of Noah Webster's 1828 edition, and I quote, "The law of love tolerates no vice or evil, but patronizes every true virtue." That's beautiful, isn't it? That's excellent. The law of love tolerates no vice or evil, but patronizes every true virtue. When the laws that are on the books of this land are not enforced by judges or judicial systems that we have currently in power, then freedoms begin to get lost, and you hear the word more and more, tolerance, or be tolerant of one another, and yet it's a hypocritical statement. I was going to read something to you. I didn't grab it tonight. I don't know if you were at the National Day of Prayer at the city, but the mayor, and she is to be commended, the mayor stood up and read a poem prayer that was absolutely incredibly convicting and powerful and enlightening. And she had the guts to read it, and it was definitely a Christian poem. I tell you, she gave great praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ the other day. And it was powerful out there on that city lawn in front of the city. It was spectacular. And I'm wondering, she made the comment after she read it. She said, you know, it's not easy to be in the position of mayor and to say these things, but I'm going to keep saying them. Well, God bless her. But we live in an age right now where we have taggers who cost you and I a lot of money. Seems innocent, huh? Tagging, unless you go to Singapore. Could cost you your... you know, anybody remember the Singapore guy, the American that got caned? Will he ever do that again? Oh, he'll never do that again. Never. But, you know, we have people that get caught tagging. And what you hear, because we live in an age of tolerance, you know. You can't come down on him. He was simply expressing his First Amendment rights. And so he was tagging on public property. Isn't that amazing? Well, what's wrong with that? That's exactly my point to what we're talking about tonight. When the church stands up and says, listen, the Bible says that this guy sleeping with this girl, we've confronted them alone, we've brought witnesses, we've done that, and now we bring it before the church so that they be convicted and come back to Christ. This is what the Bible says to do. When was the last time you were at a church that did it? Well, maybe because the last 10 churches I went to, nobody was sleeping together. Well, I tell you, the bigger the church, the bigger the problem. Well, you wouldn't do that, would you? If I can't do it, then I have to quit. Because now I've become fearful of men. And I can't do that. It's bad enough just to battle with satanic temptation. Don't preach this message. People might not come back. What do you do? Hey, I could die of a heart attack tonight and go home and be very happy about it. That could happen any moment, you know? Or I could preach this message and the next two messages and get in a lot of trouble and just be glad that the Lord is on the throne. Yeah, the youthful tagger is just expressing his First Amendment right, while the imbecile curses and swears in public and is now labeled one who is literacy challenged. I live near a green belt where there's a little, you know, waterway flowing and the trees are all there and it goes for, I don't know, about a mile or so. And when you walk over to that green belt, there's a sign and it says, by ordinance of the city of Chino Hills, no profanity allowed. And you see kids walk by going, what the H-E double hockey sticks is this doing here? Wait, can't you read? I have my doubts. Maybe they have a problem. But, you know, I tell you, when someone's just cussing and cussing and cussing, oh, look, he's literacy challenged. Everybody's got a foul mouth. He's got a foul mouth. Jesus says, out of their mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you see, we've redefined things. I'm not fighting being overweight. I'm horizontally challenged. See? Sounds great. Makes you feel good. We're all a touchy-feely kind of a world, and I know you're not liking this tonight. But listen, it's creeping into the church. I believe that modern tolerance is negligent. The second thing that we consider here under this first point still, this could be another series within a series, that deception of this tolerance cry often reappoints standards, alters standards. There's things, for example, that I would never, could have never been caught doing as a teenager, which now is not only tolerated, it's almost accepted. In fact, we have leaders in the community that's saying, well, you know what, they're just kids.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle tells the reader not to be deceived. Now, what we heard today, which deals mostly with political correctness and the redefinition of the word tolerance, it's part of a mini-series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? I hope you have. We also have an app for your smartphone by that same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We just like to make things easy for you. Remember, it's free. Here on Real Radio, you've heard us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs that airs on his channel. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and you can get in your email inbox if you'd like. Our Wednesday night study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our Monday night TV program that deals with, well, real life issues from a biblical perspective, and a whole lot more. I'm peeking at mine right now on my smartphone. There it is, all at my fingertips. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.